Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Verses 1 and 2. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and his image, over his mark and the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. In these two verses, two visions are revealed. They relate to one another, and they also explain one another. The vision of judgment comes first. The vision of salvation follows. This reveals our Creator's dealing with man since the beginning. Our Lord first warned Adam not to violate good order, and after the fall, God told Adam that God's word must be fulfilled. God first admonished Cain how to open his heart for God's favor through obedience. After Cain's deliberate murder, the consequences of Cain's wickedness are unavoidable, and God's judgment is inescapable. The everlasting gospel of salvation in Christ, the only Savior, has been preached since the beginning. First Epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 25, and the Revelation, chapter number 14, verse number 6. But since our Savior appeared in the flesh, this gospel is declared worldwide to the entire humanity. The complete number of angels appointed to execute our God's judgment is prepared. They stand still till the next vision gets fulfilled. All redeemed are safe and blessed in the glory of their King of Kings. These two visions reflect our Father's loving care and perfect justice. In Genesis chapter number 6, we can see the world's rapidly expanding sin and corruption. The nominally godly people are mixing in marriages with the openly godless sinners. Later, in the verse number 12, human decadence accelerates and floods almost the entire world. Before our God allowed his massive sign of judgment to destroy that world, God called Noah, the righteous preacher, to deliver Noah's family and to make them his witnesses. In Genesis chapter number 19, the last hours of corrupted cities cannot expire before our Lord's calling law. to lead his family and relatives out of the destruction zone. In the Revelation, this chapter 15, before the final, last judgment starts, all God's children celebrate salvation in Christ our Savior and His victory over dark evil forces that must all collapse before God's Lamb. The Lord delivers the godly out of temptations and reserves the unjust for the judgment day to punish them that walk after the filthy fleshly lusts. They despise government, they are self-willed, presumptuous, and speak evil of dignities. 2 Epistle Peter, chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. Our Creator is perfect in all His ways, in mercy, in salvation, in justice, and condemnation. In the first verse of this chapter, God's wrath is filled up. Our God is very limited in His judgments, always to the limit of His divine justice, or partial judgment, as a stark warning to repent and seek His mercy and deliverance before the day of grace expired and the time of the last judgment has arrived. He, our Father, calls us, "Proclaim my grace and herald my judgment." In the second verse, no shore of that sea of crystal is evident. Many are called, but few are chosen. Our Lord calls all men to Him. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 20, verse number 16, and chapter number 22, verse number 14. Before closing the book, His Holy Spirit calls once more, "Who is athirst, come, and whosoever will, take the water of life freely," Revelation chapter number 23, verse number 17. We see a detailed description of the victory in the second verse, not only over the beast alone, but also over every aspect of the dragon's soul entrapment. In such victory, we see our Savior's grace. The same Spirit that prevailed fasting 40 days in wilderness endured the agony and grief of judgment we deserved, as we see manifest on Golgotha. The same Spirit and Lord of Lords prevailed in the hearts of these victors and in their testimony all the way. This sea of glass, like unto crystal, is in front of the throne in the chapter number 4, verse number 6. Here, in the second verse of this chapter number 15, the sea is mingled with fire. In the chapter number 1, verse 15, the feet of the glorified Son of Man appeared like fine brass, as if burning in a furnace. Brass melted in fire resembles gold. When the gold from the heavenly treasure of the Most High is melting in the heat of the greatest testing, He offers Himself for our ransom. Nothing else but pure gold through and through is seen. As He walks through the fiery trials in His faithful witnesses, His beautiful likeness and power is evident. Now they are in glory. Past sufferings are replaced with present joy, and the heat of trials with flames of adoration. They have harps of God. Can we feel the joy and the thrill of these fervent worshippers? This is not submission to a tyrant, but fervent adoration in deepest gratitude. Behold the glory of David and Solomon, and the temple in Jerusalem in the first book of Chronicles, chapters number 28 and 29. All the past glory of Israel is eclipsed by this splendor of the heavenly beauty and holiness. Yet, this is only a vision, a revelation. We must be transferred and transfigured before we can begin to fully participate in the reality our souls now desire. The harps sound the perfect harmony of loving adoration with the fragrance of the highest reverence. This is the endless offering of this heavenly throng to the full embrace of our soul's bridegroom, the one who loves us in his everlasting love. What a marvelous encouragement! The praises his spirit generates in the hearts of his children are the delightful fragrance to our heavenly Father. Our soul and body, mind and heart, we owe to him forever and ever. Verse number 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. The servant and the Savior praise the Father in one tune of everlasting adoration, fulfilling the promise in the first epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse number 2. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. These worshippers share the gratitude and praise with Moses and partake of the Lamb's adoration. They worship their heavenly Father, not having a single word referring to their own worthiness or merit. They praise God for their victory in the hostile world governed by the dragon and the beast. They experienced cruel persecution, shackles, and martyrdom. Our Lord tells us, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. Gospel according to John, chapter number 16, verses number 21 through 22. They are transformed into the perfect likeness of the Son, and see the Father and the Son in the splendor of God's glory and majesty. God our Father is great and marvelous in his works of grace in our Savior. He is just and true in all his ways, the King of saints and the judge of all unrighteousness. These victors worshipped God in suffering, and now they adore him in joy. Verse number 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Thou only art holy. All nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. These are praises of the redeemed and faithful that now are in the state of perfect spiritual restoration into the image of their Creator, and they see him as he is. Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 3, verse number 10, and the first epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse 2. For them it is only reasonable and natural to have the highest reverence, the deepest gratitude, and endless adoration for our God and Savior. Their entire being is filled and adorned in the awareness of his holiness, beauty, and grandeur. God alone is the source, foundation, and the highest degree of holiness. In his grace, he made them holy as he is holy. God's grace and mercy is manifest in Christ our Deliverer. His judgments have been foretold by his heralds. All who trust and obey him are saved. All who reject his mercy have only his judgment left to them. In the end, all the redeemed are rejoicing in glory. All the rebels face his judgment and fall before him in horror. There is no joy in horror worship. Verses 5 and 6. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, adorned in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and Moses, they all had a sky temple where God talked to them. When the image of the heavenly tabernacle was built up in Israel, God confirmed and sanctified it as the place of godly worship. God confirmed his designation of the temple building to Solomon. In every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him, says the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, verse number 35. Our Lord Jesus is our temple without any man-made walls. Our God's temple is open to all who trust and obey Him. His grace is proclaimed. His judgments are announced till now. Many partial judgments have been executed in the past, some of them foretold and accomplished, others foretold and postponed, some others unexpected, sudden calamities. The great flood was a prophecy for a long time. Sodom and Gomorrah perished in one day. Jonah's prophecy in Nineveh resulted in repentance, and God had mercy to the penitent. Later, in the book of the prophet Nahum, our God's judgment came upon Nineveh. We know not how many partial signs of our God's judgment will happen while the final and general judgment of God is being still in the prophecies. This one factor is clear to us. His word never fails. These seven angels have similar apparel as our Lord Jesus in the chapter number 1. They are revealed here in Christ's garments of love and holiness. In their hands are signs of God's judgment, the only outcome of rejecting our Lord's grace. This is the reward impenitent rebels reserved for their wickedness. God's eternal kingdom of love, joy, peace, everlasting celebration and adoration of God is closed for all pollution, sin, and wickedness. Verses 7 and 8. One of the four living beings gives unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man is able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels are fulfilled. In the chapter number 4, we see all of these four beings. These four beings are so blending together, not only among them four, but also with the throne, therein and around the throne. John is in the spirit and called up higher to see the revelation. So he can see and know the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. When we follow God's guidance, we are on the path of His revelation. The four beings, almost covered with eyes, appear to be full of life and power. They glorify our Lord on and on. Before we let our imagination loose, let us remember, this is a part of the revelation, a vision. The omniscience and omnipotence of the Holy Spirit is glowing through the gospel of salvation in Christ. The mighty spirit of the Lion Lamb, our King, is looking at us through the entire recorded Word of God. He watches over us through what we named the circumstances. He guards us through that part of our conscience that has been already trained by our genuine understanding of the gospel teaching. The Lord corrects us continually. He encourages us by His new revelation to understand His word clearer, deeper, wider, and higher. He brings additional support through godly concerns of our fellow believers. Our Heavenly Father makes us aware of His looking at us through numberless eyes and watching over us. He personally needs none of these eyes to see us. He is omniscient. Nobody and nothing can hide from His awareness. God is using all these eyes for our understanding of His marvelous fatherly care for us. All His ways and manners exclaim to our soul, mind and heart, "Holy, holy, holy is our Almighty God." Through the multitude of these eyes, we grow in the holy awareness that God knows the past. Since the beginning, every detail of the present time and situation, and the future through all of eternity. As soon as we absorb this transformation, our souls join the shout, "Holy, holy, holy is Christ, God's Son." Our Heavenly Father delights in His Son's resurrection and transformation in our souls, and so do we. Which of the four beings gave the vials to the seven angels? It did not matter. Our God's judgment has been foretold in all four Gospel books. The ever-living One patiently waits for all His redeemed souls to turn away from sin in sincere repentance and receive His mercy. But He will make end of evil at His appointed time. And that time is signified in the next chapter. But first, one more sign is revealed here. Our God's glory and power is signified by the appearance of a cloud that fills the temple. None can enter in. It seems obvious that the seven angels are ready to execute our God's judgment. The judgment of divine justice will never bring any sinner into the presence of our God's holiness. Far less a sin can bring us closer to God. Who can enter into the holy presence of His grace and salvation after His judgment? Let us look through the chapter number 6. In the first 8 verses, the Lamb opens 4 seals. Many events, changes, turbulences, and much suffering passes over humanity in the past, in the present, and in the future times. Verse number 9. Opening the 5th seal reveals the redeemed sufferer's destiny. Under the altar, the blessed presence of the Almighty Creator and Savior, the full coverage of our Lamb's ransom. All is in God's care. All is under His control. Verses 12 through 17. The 6th seal opens. Earthquakes, disasters, calamities. Rebellious humanity panics as the basic structures of human societies crumble and the universe collapses. The redeemed sufferer's destiny is in the blessed presence of the Almighty Creator and Savior. All is in His care. All is under His control. Our Christ's patient suffering is triumphant. All of the Satan's fury and rage is defeated. All our God's children in Christ are safe in His care and destined for His glory. But only after the cloud of His glory and holiness is satisfied by complete execution of the divine justice upon the Lamb of God, on behalf of all His children. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 1. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 28. Now, let us consider the Revelation, chapter number 8, verse number 1. When the Lamb opens the 7th seal, there is silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Verse number 2, I see the 7 angels. They stand before God, and to them are given 7 trumpets. Verse number 3, Another angel comes and stands at the altar. He has his golden censer. To him is given much incense to offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. Verse number 4. The incense smoke out of the angel's hand with the prayers of the saints ascends up before God. Verse number 5. The angel takes the censer and fills it with fire of the altar and casts it into the earth. And there are voices and thundering and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse number 6. And the seven angels having the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse number 7. The first angel sounds, and hail and fire mingled with blood fall upon the earth. The third part of trees, and all green grass is burnt up. Verse number 8. The second angel sounds, a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea. The third part of the sea becomes blood. Verse number 9. The third part of the creatures in the sea died. The third part of the ships is destroyed. Verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, a great star falls from heaven, burning as a lamp. It falls upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Verse number 11. The name of the star is Wormwood. The third part of the waters becomes wormwood, and many men die of the bitter waters. All is in our God's care. All is under His control. Amen. In this chapter 15, verse number 1, we see the seven angels again. Another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Chapter number 15, verse number 6, the seven angels come out of the temple. Verse number 7, to them are given seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Verse number 8, God's glory and power fill the temple. No man is able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels are fulfilled in the offering of God's own Lamb on behalf of all sinners who trust and obey God's Son. All sinners stubbornly rejecting His mercy and grace reserve their place in our Creator's condemnation. Not a single violation of our God's law can escape the consequences. When I read about the wrath of the Lamb, or about God's wrath, I don't see the Almighty suddenly falling into some rage, losing balance and breaking some of His standards or any of His dignity. He warns man not to violate God-given order. He announces the consequences of sin. He foretold His judgment from afar. He calls to repentance and promises mercy. He allows some signs of His judgment at times. He even permits partial judgment of some sinner or groups of sinners. He allows His children to suffer in the world of sin and iniquity for a testimony to the wicked. He gives His own Son to be a ransom for all penitent sinners. Sometimes suddenly, but usually slowly and surely, His judgment reaches every sin. No sinner can say in truth, "I wanted to repent, but God rejected me." No righteous man can ever say, "I saved myself." We see these seven angels again in the chapter 16.